Let's get over to Dr. Jeffrey Copen at Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest Hospital. He's the chief medical officer over there. And Dr. Copen, I know you share in what our concerns are here as you hear about Tiger in a situation like that. Terrible to hear news like that about anybody, really.
Yeah, it really does. And Tiger, you know, as we just heard, obviously he's had his own health problems. I saw on Twitter that there's some thinking that he broke his legs, and we'll find out. But a rollover jaws of life, it doesn't sound good. I know they took him to a level one trauma center. So you know, let's just all think good thoughts and hope Tiger does well.
Yeah, that's all you can do. Let's switch gears a little bit here, Dr. Jeff, and talk. There is some positive news, generally speaking, for Illinois, Indiana. The positivity rate's way down. I know that testing might have been a little down because of the weather and that sort of thing, but certainly good news. I saw Wisconsin, zero deaths for the second straight day. That seems like a major milestone. It's been a long time coming. I saw an image I just wanted to share, and there was this image out there that's gone viral of this doctor in Missouri, and he's dressed head to toe in his infectious disease gear, and he's in front of a bunch of empty hospital beds, and it's the COVID ward, and he's just got his arms up celebrating. I know you never want to celebrate, but at some point, it kind of feels as if we are turning a corner. Would you say that's fair to say?
I hope so. I think we have to start, though, because we just passed a grim milestone, right? I mean, we just passed 500,000 dead from
sure.
COVID. You know, I don't think a moment like that should go without us mentioning it and just, sending our best to the families of all these people that we've lost. I mean, if you think about it, this has been going on now for, 50 weeks, and it's 10,000 dead people a week on average. So, I mean, that's really sad. But at the same time, I'm going to go out on the limb a little bit today, Anna.
Okay.
I think that the trends that we're seeing right now, the data that's coming out, is only positive. Only positive. And we should feel great about it. The positivity rate we just heard during the news is 2.8%, right? That's awesome. 2.8% positivity. Hospitalizations are down. We're under 60,000 hospitalizations in the country right now. We haven't had that since last summer. Something to be really happy about. We know that deaths is a lagging piece of data, but we're going to see that come down too. Zero deaths in Wisconsin. Unbelievable. We know our hospitalizations are down. In my own hospital, we're way down from where we were. All of our Northwestern hospitals are like that. That's fantastic. And then how about the performance of the vaccines? More and more data is coming out from around the world about how effective our vaccines are. The British came out with three different studies yesterday showing how wonderful this vaccine is. You know, these vaccines are much more than anybody would have dreamt a year ago, 6 months ago. And these are not clinical studies. This is real life experience. So in the real life experience, people who are getting vaccinated, nobody is getting deathly ill. Nobody is dying. That's the most important indication of anything else. We see that now in Britain, and we see that in Israel. And this is real life experience again. I mean, it's something to feel great about. I think we should be very, very optimistic about what these vaccines are doing in the real life experience. And as we're able to get more and more people vaccinated here in the United States, we've now done over 60 million doses of the vaccine in the United States. We're going to see continued improvement in all of these numbers that we've been talking about incessantly for the last year.
Yeah, how about that? That is good to hear, that the vaccines are working, that you can't say that enough. Nobody's getting deathly ill. Nobody is dying on them. And that is so heartening. It feels good to hear you say that, Dr. Copen. I want to ask you, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, they think it's possible, I was reading, that it could be getting its emergency FDA approval by weekend, even as soon as then. And you wonder, there's been a little bit of talk about that that's not the favorite one. We don't want this one as much. And I've heard such pushback that do not look at the Johnson & Johnson rate just because of this, you know, some of the things that have come out about it. People say that they don't want to get it. What can you tell us, Dr. Copin?
Yes, so the FDA is going to be looking at the Johnson & Johnson data in a public hearing on Friday. I think we have every reason to believe that there will be an emergency use authorization granted by FDA, just like they did for the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines. Then over the weekend, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices at CDC will do its work. They'll come out with some recommendations how to use this vaccine. And I think by next week, Johnson & Johnson will be distributing its one-shot vaccine. So that's the first difference. This one only takes one shot. It's not two. So after one shot, people already have the protection. They don't have to go back for a second one. That's really good. And the other thing is, unlike the Pfizer, and even unlike the Moderna, the Johnson & Johnson can stay in a regular refrigerator. So it makes it a lot easier to transport and to use. There'll be clinics, even doctor's offices eventually, that will be able to have the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So what's the concern that people have? When you look at the data that we've seen in press releases, it doesn't look as great as the Pfizer and Moderna. But that's a misunderstanding, Anna. The Johnson & Johnson, same thing. Nobody's dying who gets it. It keeps people from getting deathly ill. It keeps people from dying. The two most important things. So we see that with Johnson & Johnson. The other thing is the places where the studies were done with Johnson & Johnson, the prevalence of infection was greater than when the Pfizer and Moderna was done. So we shouldn't be surprised that we see a difference in the these percentages that we're seeing. But in the United States, the Johnson & Johnson is probably 85% effective. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. We don't have respiratory virus vaccines that are that good. We never have a flu vaccine that's that good. So I think we should be really optimistic about what we're going to learn about Johnson & Johnson on Friday and then over the weekend. And what I can tell people is, when you have an opportunity to get a vaccine, if the opportunity you have is to get Johnson & Johnson, don't hesitate for a moment. It's going to do for you exactly what we need. It's going to protect you from getting very ill. And that's what we're trying to accomplish right now. And we know enough already that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine will do that.
Good to know. I want to ask you, too, that the variants we talk so much about, that the FDA has made some sort of announcement about, they won't need large clinical trials in order to update the vaccines that target these variants. Can you tell us what you know about that?
So if Moderna and Pfizer, for example, were to tweak the mRNA vaccine, FDA is saying that since it's just a tweak, there's going to be no need to do big phase 3 trials again in order to show safety and efficacy. So they'll just be able to tweak it, and we'll be able to get booster shots if necessary. So that's obviously really, really good. But let's remember, like, one of the variants that we were worried about, the so-called B117, which is the variant that arose in the United Kingdom and Britain. Mm-hmm. That's the predominant strain right now in Britain, and it's that strain that we're getting this great data out of Britain. So it's working against that one. So I think we should feel really good about that, too.
Yeah, I saw this story. We got to get to it with just a few minutes left here, Dr. Copin. But I saw this thing. People who wear glasses may be up to 3 times less likely to catch COVID. And I thought for a second I was reading The Onion. I was not. This is a real story out there. And I just wonder what you're making of this study.
Yeah, so I haven't had a chance to pull the study. It came out of India. Now, it could be that people who wear glasses, and it said in the report I read about the study, these are people who wear glasses at least 8 hours a day. Mm-hmm. They probably rub their eyes less than people who don't wear glasses. That would be my guess. And what we know, one of the ways you can contract the virus is if you get the virus on your hands and you rub your eyes, the virus actually can get into your body through your eyes. So that would be my guess. I would just tell everybody it is a small number of people who get infected that way compared to the airborne route. This is why we recommend that people wash their hands. It's kind of a cute study. I don't think there's going to be a lot, though, that will come from this.
All right. Well, that puts it in perspective. You always do. Thank you, Dr. Jeff. I appreciate your time.
Anytime, Anna. Everybody take good care.